Welcome to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show where Anders Leo Lindberg discusses the latest trends in finance and accounting. Kick back, relax, and enjoy this week's show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Hashtag Finance Master show. So today's topic is just another one from the book, if you will, but we are talking about value drivers and how finance professionals can drive value. So before my holiday, I had a week of holiday, we talked about revenue growth. Today, we'll talk about costs. And so asking the question, who's better to drive down costs than finance professionals? If you need to drive down costs in your company, executives typically go to one place for analysis and follow-up. No, it's not consultants. It's to finance professionals, you guys and girls out there. We know how to analyze the company's cost structure in detail and discuss ideas with the relevant stakeholders to drive down costs. We're not doing it alone, but often enlist operations, procurement, HR, and others. Today's show will show you how finance can drive costs down. Cost efficiency is one of the four key drivers of shareholder value creation. We gave an overview of this in the introduction to this series. In today's show, we will explore the underlying drivers of cost efficiency and discuss specific analyses and initiatives that finance professionals can drive and implement. We probably all know the old saying, it costs money to make money. And that's true for all companies. Naturally, cost structures and line items vary greatly by industry, but companies have costs, sometimes even without revenue. That's a fact. We're definitely not going to explain all cost items here, but we have highlighted some main ones. We have COGS, or cost of goods sold, or more broadly speaking, variable cost. These are directly related to what the company is producing. This is typically shown as a unit cost to help understand how much it costs to produce one unit of the company's products. Then we have SG&A, referred to in many different ways, sales, general, and administrative costs, or more broadly speaking, fixed costs. Of course, you could have office, location, and other costs there in as well. They are only indirectly related to what the company is producing. This also means they are more inflexible to change. This is typically shown by location or department, and rarely as a unit cost, since there's no direct relationship. Finally, we have interest and taxes. These cost types are often referred to as below the line and are typically not considered for profitability analysis or as part of the company's operations. Nonetheless, they are cost items subject to optimization and should be in finance scope for driving efficiency. These drivers, especially COGS and SG&A, can be split into numerous elements of optimization. In manufacturing, for instance, there's a plethora of operational drivers that impact COGS, and it's critical that the operational team has insights into these. The challenge is rarely to track the drivers, but rather to separate what's important from what's not, and link the financial and operational drivers. First, we'll focus on ways to optimize the described cost drivers, and then examine specific analyses that finance professionals can perform to provide visibility into their development. But here's the first question for you. We have George coming up here. I don't know if George is going to be on camera. George, are you here? Welcome to the stage. If you can put on your camera, that's great. Otherwise, just happy to have you here.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
And what are your thoughts on driving down costs as a finance professional?
Yes, I agree with you. I'm sorry I didn't put the camera on because I'm working on a project now and I would like to listen to you as well. I live there. Sorry, pardon me. I will be on the shadow.
All right. No worries, George. Thanks for coming up nonetheless. So we're just checking in on some of the comments we got so far. We have Emmanuel saying great insights on the role of finance professionals in driving efficiencies. Their contribution are vital for realizing cost savings and fostering innovation. Absolutely. We need to run an efficient business to have resources available to invest. And then we have Hani here saying finance professionals are best suited to drive down cost because they have expertise in analyzing financial data, identifying inefficiencies, implementing cost saving strategies while ensuring financial stability. And I 100% agree with that statement. This is definitely true. So again, let us know where you mean from. If you want to come up on stage, we have plenty more questions for you, but just click the link, join the green room or waiting room, whatever you want to call it, and then we'll bring you up a bit later. That's how it goes when you try out new features, but at least we can see it works getting some people up here. So yeah, definitely don't shy away. We don't bite. It's just going to be just like in the good old days. Now you're just up here on camera to make it a bit more lively. But yeah, you can of course join as any way that makes sense for you. All right, so how do we drive cost efficiencies? We'll view each driver through a different lens. COGS is seen from a product perspective, SG&A from a department perspective, and interest and taxes as separate line items. From a product perspective, product profitability is critical to most companies, but they often find it easier to drive down cost than to increase the price in the market. Products will then be split into separate cost types like components, machinery, labor, and so on. Each requires different strategies to optimize. Component cost, for instance, requires strong sourcing practices, whereas machinery costs involve considerations for buying or leasing and maintenance costs. Labor costs are yet again different and involve everything from negotiating salaries to learning and development to develop your staff. On the SG&A side, we have departments, and just an example could be broken down into different ways. So most departments employ staff not directly involved in producing the company's products. Still, there are significant differences in how closely they are engaged in driving the company's top line and profitability. Sales staff, for instance, would be outgrowing the business, whereas finance staff would handle control and compliance tasks necessary to do business. Reducing costs by department typically requires separate action plans. However, comparing departments across locations, for instance, or putting a headcount or FT, full-time equivalent, in relation to product volumes can be helpful across all departments, because this gives you a productivity measure, which we'll get back to. On interests, this is often a line item fully controlled by finance, and as such, it should be much easier to optimize. It is tightly linked to the company's capital structure and the risk profile that management seeks. What's important to understand is that for most companies, this is not a core business item, and as such, not one will be considered for profitability purposes. If you're a bank, for instance, it's of course different. And finally, taxes, another line item, often more in finance control. However, it's also dictated by where the company does business. Every country has its tax rates and structures that companies should know about. Moreover, doing business internationally involves transfer pricing considerations as well. Reducing the tax cost can often be done by moving around asset ownership and company headquarters, for instance. Still, it's not something that companies do lightly, as they also need to consider the public opinion. Now, I've been part of several cost reduction initiatives. One was called the Joint Cost Plan, and it was a collaboration between operations, procurement, and finance. So in finance, we would follow up on and report on the savings. But I took a more prominent role in these initiatives by facilitating workshops and joint brainstorming sessions to share good ideas across to help operations managers find new ways of getting savings. I also visited many of the operations managers across the region for which I was responsible. The result was a saving for the year of $38 million. There is around 4% of the total cost base. So it was not insignificant. Of course, it wasn't earth-shattering either. But considering that our vendors would push for cost increases yearly, this was definitely not easy. So question for you, what analysis would you suggest we do as finance professionals to generate insights on cost reduction opportunities? Naturally, we're always watching cost developments in our company. We see this in our variance analysis leading to the monthly management reporting. We highlight the variances, comment on them, and ask how to improve the situation. However, we need to go beyond simple variance analysis to derive insights on how to drive down costs. Here are four examples of such analysis. First is benchmarking. This is a very effective way of seeing which departments or locations or other unit types are spending more than necessary. Benchmark similar units internally or externally if possible to learn where there's above average spending that could be targeted for cost cutting. Productivity. Sometimes cost levels vary across units. For instance, it could be countries. where there are low cost and high cost countries. So making a cost-based benchmark analysis based towards low-cost countries versus high-cost countries could be a bit challenging. Instead, you can consider conducting a productivity analysis where you use headcount or FTEs instead of costs, the highlighted above. A person is a person, no matter the cost, so to speak, if they perform the same role. Yet, if a high-cost country has lower productivity than a low-cost country, you have a better case or cost for initiating cost-cutting projects, because you would expect them to do the same job to be equally efficient, if you will. Then there's asset ownership. Should you lease or own assets? If you own them, where should they be owned? And so on. There are many considerations for deciding on asset ownership. The short-term view might simply look at the absolute cost level hitting the P&L, whereas a long-term view might also consider the total cost of ownership. And finally, we have outsourcing / offshoring. In cases where activities don't require closeness to where the company does business or is not a core business activity, offshoring or outsourcing should be considered. This requires both business and process understanding to determine in detail, but at the very least, you can start asking questions about it. For instance, many companies have already offshored production and various supporting activities like finance and HR. This is by no means an extensive list. I asked ChatGPT, just like I did last time, to give me a list of 10 other analyses to prepare. And they quickly gave me these. You have activity-based costing, process mining analysis, cost-benefit analysis, root cause analysis, Pareto analysis, 80-20, benchmarking was here again, total cost of ownership analysis, spend analysis, could it be category spend or else, time-driven activity-based costing, just to make the acronym very long, TDABC, and supply performance analysis. But you could ask again, and they will give you more and more. So there's plenty of analyses that you can do. As with driving revenue growth, we're not short on activities to drive down costs. We need to start working on it, though, and it starts today. If you haven't already started, of course. I once did a benchmark analysis of some drilling rigs to understand why one of the rigs had significantly increased cost over 5 years, and these were five very similar rigs. It turned out that the rig manager had saved on maintenance to hit some financial targets, which eventually put the rig's operational uptime at risk, forcing a new rig manager to overspend on the rig significantly. We couldn't save on cost from this analysis because we had to spend on maintenance. We could undoubtedly dispel unwanted behavior in the company. Final question for you today. Do you have any concrete examples of cost reduction initiatives that you have participated in? We also have a LinkedIn user here, account to see who it is, says, good info, exploring ways for operations to be more lean is a good way to reduce cost. Reducing fixed costs without jeopardizing key aspect of the business is also ideal. Absolutely. I think what we want to try to avoid when we do cost savings initiatives is to not lay off people, because that's the most brutal way of doing it. Sometimes that is necessary for various reasons, but not something that we should take lightly for sure. So those are some good ways, some good suggestions, but please do keep the comments coming in. How do you get started on driving down costs, I guess, is the question left here. And I know we said to go beyond simple variance analysis, but this is typically where it starts. Look at your latest monthly management report to understand where you have the largest cost variances. Then dig into that area using some of the techniques we have described in today's show. Use your findings to discuss with the relevant responsible teams what can be done to make the area more efficient. And don't just go and tell them, please drive down cost. Be part of the solution as well. It's not rocket science. And I'll guarantee you, from doing these analyses, you will undoubtedly uncover unknown issues or you are find ways to push people to act on them, right? So this is an area that all finance professionals should definitely take serious, should definitely get involved in, because executives are looking at us. They may not ask us to drive revenue growth. We could also do that, but they will definitely be looking at us to drive cost savings initiatives. The more we can do that by avoiding laying off people, probably the better. But lots of great techniques have been shared in today's show. We are continuing on the value driver series also next week, where we'll talk about driving value through the balance sheet, something that we should definitely all consider as well. Why? Because no one else cares about the balance sheet but finance people. I hope that you will be there next week at 3 o'clock European time, and maybe already now start to think about coming up on stage. We will keep pushing this because I'm sure it's going to be a great way to drive engagement with all of you and also an opportunity to make the show special. But from today's show, thanks a lot for tuning in. Stay tuned for next week. And if you want to catch up on previous episodes of the Hashtag Finance Master Show, find them in your favorite podcast channels or go to the Hashtag Finance Master YouTube channel. We are closing in on 2,000 subscribers over there. So let's keep pushing. I will for sure. I hope you will too. But for now, see you again next week and get started with driving down those costs, okay?
You've been listening to Hashtag Finance Master. Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated on the latest trends in finance and accounting.